Staying with low vision, we move now from early detection techniques to the missed detection and awareness of comorbidities. Today, in the UK, almost 2 million people are living with sight loss. Visual impairment is more common in older people, which means that it can often be compounded by other age-related health conditions. Furthermore, sight loss itself is associated with an increased chance of developing other health issues, ranging from broken bones due to falls to depression caused by feelings of isolation. In this section of the program, we're going to take a closer look at some of these associated health issues, beginning with clinical depression. In a recent collaboration between the charity Guide Dogs and Cardiff University, Dr. Tom Margrain led a study on the prevalence of depression in the visually impaired and what's being done about it. Gwyneth Morgan talks to him about the study and its implications.
Tom, thanks for talking to us today. Can you tell us why you felt it was important to do this research?
Well, I'm rather shocked. I've been working with people with a visual impairment now for about 30 years. And I guess for other people who are used to working with people with sight loss, we get used to them being a bit low. We get used to them crying occasionally. We get used to them not using their low vision aids and not being highly motivated. That just seemed part of the scenery of working with people with low vision. But I think the turning point for me came in about 2008, where I went to a conference in Canada. And there was lots of talk at the time about depression in people with sight loss, suggesting that about 30% of people were depressed. I thought that figure seemed very high, but to some extent, a kind of penny dropped. I suddenly thought, my gosh, these people that I'm seeing in the low vision clinic who aren't very motivated, perhaps they've got depression. So that was really the primary motivation. And then I got chatting to somebody at Guide Dogs who had both lost his eyesight and had suffered quite a severe breakdown as a result of his sight loss and was depressed for many years. So I think that was really the ultimate motivation for getting involved in this work, just recognising that depression was probably a big issue for people with sight loss.
So can you tell me what is the Depression in Visual Impairment trial and what did it set out to do?
So the Depression in Visual Impairment trial was very ambitious. We set out to screen over 1,000 patients coming through low vision clinics, both in England and in Wales. It's the biggest study of its type anywhere in the world. We set out to kind of characterise people with sight loss to look at aspects of their visual function, but also look at their mental health status as well. So we had some questionnaires in there designed specifically to pick up on depressive symptoms. Another part of the study was to offer some interventions to people who screened positive for depression to get some pilot data to work out which one of the interventions was most effective. But in our discussions today, I think the key point is probably the prevalence of depression in this patient group and also the extent to which people are currently being treated.
Can you summarise the results of the work you've done for us so far?
Sure, yeah. Well, after screening, I think it was 1,008 people in the end. These were all consecutive attendees at low vision clinics. We found that 430 of them screened positive for significant depressive symptoms. So that's about 43% of people coming to the clinics actually had depressive symptoms at a level that would require some type of intervention. So that's one of the key findings. The other one is when we asked those people with depression whether they were in receipt of any treatment, it turned out that 3/4 of them were not in receipt of any help at all. So there was no help for their low mood. So those are really the key findings of this part of the Depression and Visual Impairment trial. So in an aged match control group, the prevalence of depression is about 4%. In people in the community generally with low vision, let's say a visual acuity of 6/18 or less, the prevalence of depression is about 13%. But when people are coming along to a low vision clinic, they obviously have a bigger problem. They're having difficulties managing their lives. That's when we find the prevalence is 43%. So their risk of depression is at least 10 times higher than it would be for, you know, somebody without sight loss. The prevalence of depression is independent of the absolute amount of sight loss. So if you look at the relationship between visual acuity and depressive symptoms, there is no relationship at all. It just seems to be that when people turn up to a low vision clinic because they can't read, they can't recognise their friends, they can't look at the TV, whatever the problem is, life's burden is such that they are depressed. It's about their outlook and how they're coping with their problems, not actually about their raw visual loss. But interestingly, the number of comorbidities is related to the chance of having depression as well. So with additional health problems, your risk of having depression also goes up too.
Do you think they recognised that they were depressed? Did they know?
Some people definitely did. And I think this is, in a way, it's going to sound a bit odd, but one of the joys of getting involved in this, because we screen people here in our clinic routinely for depression. And when you have a sensitive conversation with somebody about how they're feeling, I think many of them really respond positively to it. You know, it's often the first time that somebody's actually said, look, I recognise things aren't great for you. You're feeling pretty fed up at the moment, but there is potentially some help. So I think it's been the start of a lot of very useful conversations that I would like more optometrists to have with their patients.
Does your study come up with recommendations?
Yes. I think it's really inappropriate that what is a medical condition, that is depression, is being routinely overlooked in low vision clinics in the UK at the moment. As far as I'm aware, there are only two clinics in the UK routinely screening people for depression. For example, imagine we had patients who were coming in with diabetes or raised blood pressure, and you knew that 4 out of 10 people had that condition, you'd be screening for it and referring routinely. So I think we do need to do something. We need to introduce depression screening as a matter of course. And the reason that we need to do that is because NICE guidelines do exist looking at the management of depression in people with chronic health problems, and they make a couple of key recommendations. One is that high-risk patient groups should be screened, and clearly low-vision patients are a high-risk group, so if we're going to fall into line with NICE guidance, we're obliged to do this. And the other side of the coin is sending people to their GP can probably be quite effective. NICE guidance suggests a stepped care approach to depression in adults with chronic physical health problems, and there's a lot of research evidence suggesting this is quite an effective intervention. For example, typically people given a psychological intervention or an antidepressant, about 50% of people will recover on the basis of that intervention. So the treatment's potentially effective. Picking people up in the clinic through screening is relatively straightforward. So I think that's what we should be doing in the first instance.
So would you suggest that optometrists begin to do this in daily practice?
I think optometrists do need to get involved, but I also think they probably need training to help them understand what the key issues are to start with and how to communicate with people who are feeling a bit down and depressed and so on. I think optometrists have got to feel comfortable about working in this area before being kind of forced into doing so, but ultimately I think they need to get involved for their patients' benefit. And there are some great questionnaires people can use. The one that we used in our study was called the Geriatric Depression Scale. It has 15 questions where people just have to answer yes or no as to how they're feeling about things. There's another great questionnaire called the PHQ-9, the Patient Health Questionnaire, that people can find online by Googling it. It's got just 9 simple questions. So there are lots of materials out there that optometrists could use if they want to screen their patients. And some may feel they would like to have a go at doing this straight away. And I think if they have a go and discuss it sensitively with their patients, that they'll actually get a pretty positive response. For example, what I mean by that is if somebody is given a diagnosis of, I don't know, some eye condition in their 40s or 50s, they're much more likely to be depressed than somebody getting the same kind of diagnosis in their 80s. So old age is gently protective of depression. So yes, younger people are more at risk. I wouldn't like to extrapolate down to what happens to 18-year-olds or kids, because our data set really was all bunched up at the kind of older adult spectrum. But yeah, younger people, younger older adults are more at risk than older adults, if that makes any sense. Nobody would expect an optometrist to be an expert in this area, but all you have to do is to identify the fact that the person is feeling low and then offer them a referral. GPs are incredibly familiar with dealing with depression. This is, you know, like meat and potatoes for GPs, so there'll be nothing out of the ordinary for them in seeing a depressed patient, where, you know, sure, it's going to feel a bit unusual for the optometrist, but referring them to the GP is absolutely the right thing to do. That's what NICE guidance would suggest we do.
What are the next steps for your team?
We think we have designed or come up with an intervention that we think would be particularly suited for the kind of low vision arena, what's going to work for people with sight loss, and also what's actually going to work in low vision clinics. So we have quite a, it's known as a complex intervention, a complex low intensity psychological intervention for people with sight loss. We'd really like to trial that in a proper clinical trial. So we're hoping to obtain funding for that at some stage in the future.
Thank you, Tom and Gwyneth.